Do you feel like you need God's encouragement and wisdom throughout the week to take hold of His promise to fly like an eagle? You've come to the right place. Welcome to Eagles on the Hill. Let's join our host, Pastor Jeff Shike.
Hey people, I am your host, Pastor Jeff Shike. Thanks for listening to this podcast, for joining us once again as we get back to another topic. And today's topic was sent in by an astute listener. You know who you are. And the topic is to talk about Judeo-Christian values, or it's also termed Judeo-Christian morals, Judeo-Christian ethics, Judeo-Christian worldview. And we often hear people talk about how our nation, specifically the United States, was founded upon the Judeo-Christian tradition, the Judeo-Christian values. Now, this is talked about from a positive perspective in terms of people saying, yes, we agree with this. Our nation was founded on Judeo-Christian principles, worldview. And others say there's no such thing as a Judeo-Christian worldview, Judeo-Christian values, because the religions of Judaism and Christianity are very different, even though they share a common history to a certain extent, but those faiths are very different. And so there are a number of significant differences between Judaism and Christianity, but we could get into that on a different podcast, I suppose. That's not the purpose of the podcast here, but you could pause and make a list of a few of them. The biggest one, of course, is how we are saved and what we believe about Jesus. So Christians believe that Jesus is God in the flesh, came to die on the cross, a substitutionary death for us, for our forgiveness. And by faith and trust in Him, we receive forgiveness of sins, the gift of eternal life. All those things are completely not at all a part of historic Judaism, or certainly Jews who are now Christians who trust Jesus believe those things. But when we typically think of Jews, we're thinking of people who don't trust Jesus for eternal life. So obviously, very different at its foundational beliefs there. So the question is then, is there such a thing, or what do we mean by, what do people mean when they say that we spring from a Judeo-Christian tradition, since those two religions have very different theological beliefs, particularly about salvation? So I want to introduce the topic by playing a little short video clip of a guy named Ben Shapiro, who is Jewish. Some of you may listen to his podcast, but he's here in this particular little two-minute video clip answering a question from a Christian who is pretty strident in his Christian beliefs, I think. And Ben Shapiro is his usual tactful self as he replies. So let's take a listen here to this exchange between this Christian questioner and Ben Shapiro.
You've consistently promoted the idea that America was built on Judeo-Christian values. However, as a devout Christian, I have difficulty accepting the term, given Judaism's rejection of Jesus. Christians believe Jesus Christ is God. In contrast, the Talmud, a central Jewish holy book, teaches that Jesus is burning in hellfire and excrement. And while the New Testament tells us to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us, Sofrim 15 of the Talmud states that even the best of the Gentiles should be killed. Given these irreconcilable differences, why do you insist on using this oxymoronic term?
Hey, so first of all, that's a really bad read of the Talmud. Second of all, the notion that you can cite any text in support of the idea that Judaism broad writ is somehow disdainful or hateful of Christians or of people who are not Jewish is, in fact, a tremendous misread of Judaism over the centuries and particularly today. I can cite sections in the New Testament that I find personally problematic. I can certainly cite segments in the Quran that I find personally problematic. The truth is, I could probably find place in the Old Testament that I find personally problematic. That does not speak to what Judaism is and its historic impact on the world. Judaism is the foundation of Christianity. Jesus himself acknowledged this. The New Testament acknowledges this. The notion that Judaism and Christianity are somehow completely delinked and teach two completely separate lessons ignores the fact that the Old Testament is part and parcel of the New Testament. Sure, Christians and Jews think different things. Of course. Otherwise, I'd be a Christian or you'd be a Jew. If we thought completely the same thing, then presumably we would have the exact same religion. But the notion that Judaism and Christianity are completely delinked is wrong. As far as miscitations from the Talmud, or even citations of texts that are written in the year 500 CE at a time when Jews were being persecuted by Christians in the Roman Empire. That seems to me a real stretch to get to the idea that Jews today are overall hateful of Christians. I'm not sure that there's anybody in America, personally speaking, who has pushed more people back to church than me. I really don't know that there is anybody who's done that. I tell Christians literally all the time to go to church. I tell Christians all the time to re-engage with their faith. I think it is deeply, deeply important that they do. I don't try to convert people to Judaism because that's actually forbidden in Jewish law. I'm not supposed to convert people to Judaism. So I know there's a group of people who spend all day online cherry-picking bad lines from the Talmud, a text that they have no familiarity with, and then trying to spin that into a giant myth about how Jews are seeking the extermination of Christians or some other bizarre conspiracy theory. It's a lie, it's stupid, and the Judeo-Christian values of the nation are quite real because, once again, Judaism and Christianity have an awful lot in common.
Okay, well, now you know how Ben Shapiro feels about that, and as well as how his questioner feels. So, but I thought it was a great exchange, and I thought Ben did a great job in talking about, as we said at the introduction of this podcast, there are huge differences between Judaism and Christianity, which Ben acknowledged in that little segment there, but also did a good job in talking about commonalities. And the commonalities are what we're referring to when we talk about the Judeo-Christian values or the Judeo-Christian basis for many of the things in our nation, that we are a Judeo-Christian nation and that kind of thing. So I began then to think about what are those things that both Judaism and Christianity have in common that are talked about or referred to when we speak of the Judeo-Christian worldview. And I'll maybe pause for a moment to let you think of some things there. Beginning in the beginning, the fact that there is one God, not multiple gods, that was revolutionary back in the day of Abraham and is still revolutionary today. When you think of various religions today that have multiple gods, you go into any animistic religion, you go into the Hindu religion, it was a whole new thing in the world to have one God. And in fact, Christians were called atheists by the Romans because they did not accept the Roman and Greek gods. So there is one God. That's a Judeo-Christian value. That one God exists outside of nature. So, and is the creator God who created nature. That also is revolutionary, was revolutionary. That also is very different than many of the world's religions. So the Judeo-Christian value system would believe that there's one God, that God exists outside of creation, that human beings are created in the image of God with all that that entails. Those things are certainly part of the Judeo-Christian tradition. The fact that human beings are born sinful, that we are by nature evil in our hearts, that also runs counter to particularly modern day thought, at least in the last couple of hundred years, now there's the idea that either human beings are born neutral or are born good, and society is what messes us up. The fact that we have free will at all is something that is part of the Judeo-Christian tradition, but is certainly not part of our modern culture, which believes in a very deterministic, has a very deterministic view of humanity, where we're not responsible for our own behavior because, again, society makes me do what I do. Poor potty training is why I act the way I act, and all of that kind of stuff that goes on in modern culture. As I was kind of putting together this list in my own head, I thought, you know who I should really try to ask about this is a guy named Dennis Prager. Because if you're a listener to this podcast, you know that I have high respect for Dennis Prager and the wisdom that he has. Another, like Ben Shapiro, Jew, and yet has great wisdom on many of these kind of topics, including this topic of the Judeo-Christian worldview. So I decided to look up what Dennis Prager had to say about it, and he lists 10 topics, 10 areas that he would consider to make up the Judeo-Christian worldview. So, with proper credit to Dennis Prager, who I believe, by the way, I think Ben Shapiro is wrong in this regard. He says he's the one who has brought more Christians back to church than any other non-Christian. I would believe it's Dennis Prager who also does the same thing Ben Shapiro does, and that is encourages his listeners who are Christian to go to their Christian churches. Anyway, that's a defense of Dennis Prager. Here are the 10 things that make up the Judeo-Christian worldview, according to Dennis Prager. Some of them will sound familiar to you if you just listen to the beginnings of my list. Number one, there's one God. Number one. That's a new thing. We talked about that. Number two, the Hebrew Bible, the only Bible that Jesus knew and cited, introduced the most revolutionary moral idea in history, and that is this, that there are objective moral truths, just as there are mathematical truths, scientific truths. God is the source of those moral standards, and so there is moral truth, not just moral opinion. That, he says, is a Judeo-Christian view that there are moral truths. Not only are there moral truths, number three, he says, good and evil are the same for all people of any culture. Although, of course, in many cultures, good and evil are flip-flop, reversed, turned around upside down, but the reality is what is good is good and what is evil, because good and evil are defined by the one God who exists outside of creation. This should be sounding a little bit familiar. I was glad to see that Dennis Prager was on the same page as I was, although I have a feeling it's because I've listened to so much Dennis Prager that I was actually on the same page as he is. All right, next one, number four. God is the source of our rights. All men are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, declares the Declaration of Independence. So, people, government is not the source of our rights, but God is the source of our rights. And a corollary to that would be that government exists to protect those God-given rights, not to give us new rights or to make up rights. All right, number five, and this one will sound familiar. The human being is created in the image of God. Therefore, each human life is precious. And therefore, Dennis Prager says, race is of no significance whatsoever because we're all created in the image of one God, and God does not have any race. So race, and that's irrelevant because, well, there's one human race. Number six, by the way, I'm not saying that cultures don't have significance, that it's irrelevant what culture you come from. But what I'm saying is that whether your skin color is black or white or any other skin color, doesn't matter in terms of your value before God and before others. And we should treat every human life, no matter what their skin color, as precious in the sight of God and of us. All right, number six. This is Dennis Prager. The world is based on a divine order, meaning that there are divinely ordained distinctions. This is a great point that Prager makes. So, and he does this in his commentary on the book of Genesis, by the way. So Genesis is all about distinctions between God and man, between man and woman, male and female, between human and animal, between good and evil, between nature and God, the holy and the profane. The Torah, the first five books of the Bible, have these kind of distinctions throughout. And when I'm going riffing on my own now here, when we lose those distinctions, we lose some of the Judeo-Christian worldview, the Judeo-Christian values, when we can no longer distinguish between male and female, for instance, when we can no longer distinguish between animal and human. And so you get PETA. When we can no longer distinguish between good and evil, that's a problem. When we can no longer distinguish between nature and God, and so we have Mother Earth. Earth is not our mother. God is our father, and God has created the earth for us to live on and to take care of. And we could go riffing on all those sorts of things. But the point is, number six, the world is created with a divine order, with order distinctions. Number seven, to get back to Prager, man, and this should sound familiar, man is not basically good. Christians speak of original sin. Genesis chapter 8, verse 21, the will of a man's heart is evil from his youth. That is the clear view of Scripture. Psalm 51, David says that he was conceived and born sinful. So this is a world apart from the Enlightenment beliefs, as we talked about earlier, that human beings are basically good. And, all kinds of implications there. Number eight, this is the one directed against Disney. We must not follow our hearts because we are not basically good. And so Prager says, both religious Jews and Christians are keenly aware of how morally dangerous it is to be led by our emotions, by our hearts. Those who reject Judeo-Christian values are far more likely to follow and promote the advice, follow your heart. Typically, if we follow our heart, we're going to find ourselves in big trouble. We need to follow God's moral law, and that's how we stay out of trouble. Number nine, speaking of the moral law, God gave us the Ten Commandments. They are the core of Judeo-Christian values. So we need to apply the Ten Commandments to our confused secular age. And Prager is big into this one, so I'll just tell you what he says here in this article. Honor your father and mother. And looking around at the current situation that we have, I would say in the last 9 years, maybe, even if your father and mother voted for someone else different than who you voted for, you should still honor your father and mother. And Prager looks around and receives all sorts of letters from people who whose kids no longer talk to them because they voted for someone different than who the kids voted for. And also, Prager makes a big point here to maintain contact with parents and honor them, and especially do not deprive your parents of contact with your kids, their grandchildren, which they have a right to have. And number 10 for Prager, again, this should sound familiar from my list that I made up. Human beings have free will. In the secular world, there is no free will because all of human behavior is attributed to biology and the environment. But in a religious worldview, the religious worldview posits the existence of a divine soul. I don't know about divine soul. I wouldn't call it that as a Christian, but nevertheless a soul. But the soul, because we are each independent moral beings, we have free will. And so that's number 10 for Prager. All right, so there you go. Maybe you come up with some more. I'm sure there's more than 10. Certainly, I got my list started and then went to Prager and got a list of 10, which I think are all good parts of the Judeo-Christian value system. So now you know what we're talking about, at least a little bit of what we're talking about, the major points of what we're talking about when we say that we have in common in the United States, at least from our founding, a Judeo-Christian value system. Now you get some sense of what a Judeo-Christian worldview is. Yes, we differ in terms of particularly our view of who Jesus is, what Jesus did, the importance of Jesus in our everyday lives. It is not the same religion in the sense that the Christian faith has one way of salvation and the Jewish faith has another way of salvation based upon works. It's completely different in that regard. But there are a lot of commonalities, and it's those commonalities that we're talking about when we talk about Judeo-Christian values or worldview. Thanks for listening to the podcast. I encourage you to write us at eagleson the hill 211@gmail.com. Let us know your thoughts on the podcast or other topics that you'd like us to address. Remember that those who hope in the Lord will fly on wings like eagles. Thanks for listening to the podcast today.